welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a super duper top five for you.
Oh yeah, is that what it is?
That's what it is, Steve. What is that top five?
I was looking for a cue for a Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, we have plenty of that in this top five.
That's right.
What is that top five?
We're doing our top five Vegas inspired TV, video games, and movie moments.
That's right. But guys, we have a lot of show coming at you to make up for a two-week hiatus. But without further ado, let's start the show. Steve, it's a beautiful evening, and I'm stuck in here with you.
Wow. Well, it's good to see you, too, after a two-week hiatus, Wes. Wow, that's how we want to do this.
I know, man. I try to stay mad at you, and I just can't. Aww. Seeing your smiling face puts a smile on my face.
Aww.
Oh, we're starting off hot today.
Zingers!
You know, it's been 2 weeks. Sorry about that, folks. I was out of town for a little while.
That's right. Wes, where did you go?
I try to think of something funny, like Saskatchewan. I was in Vegas.
That's what you got to pull out the bright lights, city gonna save my soul. No, you don't know. You don't know Elvis Presley.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's cut to the chorus. Viva Las Vegas.
That I recognize.
Viva Las Vegas.
Still recognize it.
Viva.
Yep. Getting
Viva.
Warmer.
Russell Crowe. Las Vegas.
I don't know Russell Crowe's version.
Yeah, that's actually what he started singing during my favorite part of Les Mis. He just started singing Viva Las Vegas in flat Russell Crowe voice. That's what he did.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
So that's where you went.
That's where I went. Russell Crowe was there, hung out with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
He probably punched you.
You know what? He tried.
Oh,
and
yeah?
He succeeded.
Okay.
Yeah. No, nothing really, like... They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I'll tell you what happened in Vegas.
No. There's no.
I was going to say, nothing really exciting happened. I broke even, which is exciting.
That's good, man.
And you know me. I have terrible luck on games of chance, like worse luck than most people. But, so I was losing, just bleeding money on the roulette tables.
Roulette, okay.
Yeah. Until I got a wild hair. Up you know where, and I decided to put $10 and I split the zeros on the roulette table.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
And it was a zero. I won like a few $100,
dude.
And I was like, hell yeah! I cashed out,
dude. Okay, Wes, we gotta talk about something real quick.
What's up?
Okay, we gotta talk about the storytelling because when you go to Las Vegas,
yes,
and you bet any amount of money on zero. Or double zeros, and it hits. That's how you lead off, man.
Oh.
That's how you lead.
All right, can we start again?
No! It's over! Because that's one of the toughest bets in Vegas to hit.
Yeah.
And you hit it.
I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was leading up to that, Steve.
Yeah, well...
I don't want to start off with that.
Well, don't...
Let me tell you something about storytelling.
This is what you don't lead with. It's... It's okay.
Okay. You start out with business as usual. And business as usual is... It's okay. And then you lead up to the climax, which is hitting the zero.
All right. You're wrong, but... All right.
So yeah, that was exciting.
So you won, lost a little bit, won some more.
Well, I lost probably a total of a couple $100, and then I won about $250-$300 from that hit. So I cashed out, left that casino. I tried playing craps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been faster if I would have just handed the guy $20.
Wait, $20.
Yeah.
What are you playing? How much did you go there within your gambling budget?
$250.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many days were you there?
Three. Two full days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It's okay. So you're basically $100 a day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's you can have a little bit of fun with that. That's okay.
Sure. But like, you know, when you have terrible luck like I do, you know not to press it.
Or, you do realize that's how those casinos were built, right? Is that people like you show up and give them money.
Well,
and
yeah.
Me, people like me. I'm not saying I'm some like above the odds of gambling.
I don't know what your qualm with me just giving the dude $20 in craps is.
I mean, my initially when you said just give the guy $20, I thought you said you were implying that all you were doing is gambling with $20. Like, well, here's $20. Well, goodbye, sir.
Like, no, my thing was I was playing roulette and I was, you know, winning some, losing more, you know, but I was still having some steady fun with it.
Sure.
Walked up to craps, four straight rolls of the dice, lost like $5 each.
Did you actually roll the dice at all, or were they other people's rolls?
Other people's rolls.
Okay.
If I would roll the dice,
they would burst into flames.
Yeah, exactly. We know how that goes.
So did you have a good time while you were there?
Yes, I did. Went with a few friends, and we had a good time, and saw Michael Jackson's Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, how was that?
It was... I have never seen a Cirque du Soleil show, dude.
Okay.
It was almost life-changing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there are...
But Michael Jackson is black.
Yes.
And then... He's white!
Yeah. So you've seen it.
I'm familiar.
Okay. Yeah, dude, it was incredible, dude. It was
They
amazing.
Are truly incredible shows. You and I have seen a decent amount of live productions.
Yeah.
Both of regular straight plays, of musicals, of, you know, various other, like, Blue Man Group / other kind of stuff. And I swear to God, man, Cirque du Soleil shows, like the big budget ones, are... unlike any other show, movie, anything I've ever seen. It is a totally unique kind of show that is, it true, like, I know it's a cliche to say this, but has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah.
But my wife and I, then later I took my mom to go see the show O at the Bellagio. That's the Cirque du Soleil show there. It's the
water. For the Oprah?
Oh. It's the Oprah show.
Yeah.
Unbelievable! It's the water-based Cirque du Soleil show, and it is unbelievably awesome. The tickets are very expensive,
yeah,
and they are worth every fucking penny.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, dude. And people may be wondering what I meant when I said it. I don't want to spoil it. There is one huge thing to spoil, and I will not say it, because if the people who I went with, if they had told me that this is going to happen, I would have been... When it happened, it almost brought me to tears. But
wow.
Yeah, so there it is. If they had told me, I would not have been almost brought to tears.
So for any of you looking to go to Vegas, which, and people, it's a mixed bag on Vegas. Some people love it, like me. Some people hate it. I think it's like going to some sort of bizarre alien planet, and it's it's awesome to me. If you like people watching, it doesn't get any better.
Sure.
And there's just something about the... It is a completely fake place. Nothing about that place should exist. It should be a hole in the desert.
I've heard it described as Disneyland in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, obviously with a more adult slant, of course.
Well, Mickey Mouse is an alcoholic gambler.
Yeah,
in Vegas.
I think there's something so cool about a place that is just unabashedly, you know, like, drink, gamble, smoke, women, men, whatever it is you want, this place will indulge your every whatever. And I think there's something really cool about just going to a place that everyone has the expectation to, whatever happens, happens, let's go beyond our normal, you know, parameters and let's have a really good time. I think there's something really cool about that and just being around other people that are doing that.
Yeah.
It's obviously the horrible downside of it as well. But when you go there for a couple, you know, for a weekend, I think it's super fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... I highly encourage you to go if you've never been. It's definitely something to, you know, put on the bucket list. And when you go see a Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, yeah.
Especially one of the newer ones. Some of the older ones, they do feel a bit dated slightly. But the new ones, especially unbelievable.
Instead of spotlights, they just have table lamps.
It's a guy with a candle and a mirror.
Yeah. Ooh.
Anyway. So I've been watching something, Wes, that you will never guess.
Community.
Damn it!
Seriously?
No.
Oh, damn it!
No, I'm serious. You will never, ever guess it. Because it is channel 50.4. Because I don't have cable, because I refuse to pay for it. So Holly and I use the old antenna. So usually we watch channel...
Like the bunny ears?
Yeah. Oh, dude. It's the only thing I watch on television, regular television, is essentially... football on Sundays, and like sometimes, you know, I just watch like just something to kind of kill some time. Like when, for example, I got home from work and I had like half hour before I came over here. I had something to eat, just threw on the news for a little bit, whatever. You know, 257, you know, ABC, NBC, Fox, whatever. But Holly was just flipping through channels. Most of the time it's just Netflix we watch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this channel just buried somewhere in this bunny ears antenna is called Buzzer. B-U-Z-Z-R. And it is basically the antenna version of the Game Show Network.
Really?
But they don't show anything post-1980. And I, for the last 2 weeks, Holly and I have put way too many hours into watching terrible 60s and 70s game shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
What are your favorites?
Without a doubt. I don't know if I had never watched it until the last 2 weeks. Let's Make a Deal.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's great.
I was thinking Deal or No Deal. I don't think I've seen Let's Make a Deal. Is it the one with the goat behind the door?
There are goats. There can be goats. There can be cows. There can be all sorts of things.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
All right.
I love Let's Make a Deal. One of the best things about these game shows is the theme music for these game shows.
Mm-hmm.
It is 70s to the core. It's just these... It's like... Ba-doop, doop, ba-doop, wow. Ba-doop, ba-doop, wow. And here's a great example of 70s game show culture.
Yeah.
This show is essentially Hollywood Squares, I think right before Hollywood Squares became a thing. It's a quote-unquote, like, celebrity panel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Match Game. That's what it's called.
I love the Match Game.
You know the Match Game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so for those who are not familiar with the Match Game, there's two contestants, and the host will say something. He's like, man.
Making out with a female contestant.
Yeah, of course. Everybody is kissing on the lips.
That's right.
Everybody's kissing on the lips.
When did that stop becoming okay?
It was shocking to me to see it. And now we welcome our new contestant, Cassandra. She comes up and she's like, and she's like, oh, I'm so excited. And no one skips a beat. It's like, that is a heavy kiss.
Yeah.
That is a heavy kiss.
He held that for a few seconds.
He did. So the way the Match Game is played, Cassandra comes out. She gets a heavy kiss.
And then she walks away.
And that's the game. She wins. Everyone wins. And then she walks away. And then the guy will say some sort of statement with a blanket. It's almost like a Mad Libs thing with one Mad Lib, where he's like, my wife is such a great chef. She forgot to put the beef in the meal and instead replaced it with blank. And then all of the celebrities have to write down, you know, what they think an appropriate answer would be for, or inappropriate answer.
Yeah.
And the contestant's job is to try to match as many as they can, and they get points for it, blah, 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 blah. The host of this show, forget his name, but he has a classic Bob Barker-style microphone, the 3-foot-long, super
mm-hmm.
thin mic.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the introduction of it was a Marine, clean-cut dude wearing his Marine outfit, like his uniform.
Received a heavy kiss.
Heavy kiss for Keith. Heavy kiss for Keith. And he's like, yes, sir, I'm very glad to be here. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Can't wait. I'm really excited. He says something that I said, and clearly the host just wants to do this impression he's been working on. And keep in mind, this is in the 70s. So yeah. The host goes, he's like, or as the Chinaman would say, oh, we are so happy to have you on the show.
Oh. Like,
just completely unprovoked, nothing to do with racial stereotypes, nothing to do with Asian stereotypes, nothing to do with Chinese anything. It's like, hi, I'm really glad to be here on the show. How about this Asian impression? And nobody cares. Nobody cares. They all laugh like, oh, Jim, you're so funny. And they just keep going on, and then he kisses some woman very passionately on the mouth.
Cops appeal.
It is like looking in through a window into the past, man. It is insane.
Oh my God, that shit's 50 years ago.
No.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It's 40.
That's what I said. I said 40 years ago.
Dude, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably 1975. It was 40 years ago. And okay. It is, man, it's just, it's super duper entertaining to me.
Wow, yeah. Dude. Yeah, man, I used to love watching the MASH game when I was little. And Richard, was it Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson.
Is one of the mainstays on there.
And Charles Nelson Reilly? Is that right?
Yep. Would you know what he's from?
He's from,
I keep meaning to look it up, but he's one of the, there's three people that are basically always on the show. He was the six.
He was the dancing guy in the Six Flags commercials.
Oh! I'm coming to haunt your dreams now. Anyway.
No, I have no idea where he's from.
So Holly and I have been watching way more than we should of Buzzer.
Than is healthy, you mean?
Way more than healthy.
Oh, boy. You look a little sickly.
And it's so weird because I don't know why I do this to myself. I kind of get mad at myself that there's so many amazing things that you and I need to watch. I mean, so many things written in by the listeners to take a look at. And I'm like, yeah, I should totally watch that. But the MASH game is on. For some reason, I just get so invested in these things I find slightly interesting.
Yeah.
Instead of genuinely really good. Slightly interesting to me is like the best.
Hey, dude. I know how you do. So if you find something you like, stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, at least for a little bit. I'm brushing up on the 70s game show.
Yeah, sure, man.
God, Deal or No Deal is... Did I say Deal or No Deal?
You said Let's Make a Deal.
No, it is Let's Make a Deal. Okay. Yeah. Deal or No Deal is with Howie Mandel.
Yeah. That's the show that everyone gets mad at me when I watch with them because I'm always like, take the deal!
All right, you've got the $1 million, the $750,000, the $500,000, or you could take the deal of $15.
Take the deal!
That's a very nice lunch!
Yeah. Holy crap, we're already running long. I want to talk about a few things before we get going with the top five. How do I want to talk about this? So I let slip a couple hints. And one person wrote in and asked about it. And Jamie, you are correct. I let slip a couple hints in the last podcast that I broke up with Jill a long time ago. And
that's not a long, long time. It's not in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago.
No. So there's been a reason why we haven't talked about her. There's been a reason why she hasn't been on the podcast. But all of you out there, it was super amicable, probably the most amicable breakup in the entire world. This is how amicable it was. We broke up 7 months ago. She moved out 3 months ago. That's how amicable it was.
Good for everybody. It's great. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But I bring that up because I want to tell you about this date I went on the other night.
Damn. And now it's time for this section of the podcast. Getting sexy with Wes.
That's right. We need a theme song for
that.
It should be.
I'm hunting you in your nightmares.
It was a great date,
but
so when we were talking about places to go, we were talking about places to
eat. You mean sexually?
Yes. Do we want to go to home base or super home base?
Super duper to the dugout.
That's right. We're talking about places to eat. I was like, what kind of food do you like? She said, well, can you do Mexican or sushi? And I said, let's get nuts. Let's do Mexican sushi.
For a second, I thought you meant, let's get nuts. Let's go get some almonds and cashews and perhaps some walnuts.
And then feed them to each other, like monkeys.
What a delicious dinner we'll have. What do you mean you don't want to continue this date? It's time for sexy time with Wes.
So I immediately said, just kidding. That sounds disgusting. She said, funnily enough, that is a thing. And she sent me a text with a link of Chicago's one and only sushi burrito.
Okay, walk me through a sushi burrito.
I would rather not.
I need a hand. I need you to hold my hand.
Okay.
Take me through this burrito together. This giant burrito we're going to walk through.
Sure, sure. Well, we decide, like, this is so novel, we have to try it. She said, let's take our lives in our hands. And I said, may God have mercy on our souls. Let's go. So we get there, right?
So I got to tell you right now, the idea of a sushi burrito does not sound awful to me.
Okay. Well, okay. Obviously, it didn't sound too awful to us either. Otherwise,
wouldn't have done it.
We wouldn't have done it. So we get to this place called Sumo Restaurant, and it's we order the sushi burrito, and it comes, and it's kind of split into two different burritos, and instead of the tortilla, it's like seaweed.
Okay. Now you're losing me slightly.
Yeah. And then, of course, it has, like, the sushi rice and the huge chunks of raw fish in there.
Losing me some more.
Yep. And all the other bullshit that's in, like, the inside of the sushi stuff.
Some carrot, maybe some avocado.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all finely ground up and like, the raw fish when you order sushi, it's all, like, in bite-sized pieces.
Right.
When you order the sushi burrito, it's like there's like, okay, let's take all the stuff that we would normally chop up and put in sushi. Let's just wrap that shit up in some seaweed and serve it to them. Because with every single bite, I was pulling out such large chunks of food that I would pull out, with one bite, I'd pull out this huge chunk of avocado. Another bite, I'd pull out half a salmon. another bite... And this is where it started getting weird. I started pulling out stuff that isn't in sushi. I started pulling out...
Here's an old shoe!
Here's the classifieds!
Who still reads a newspaper?
I started pulling out, like, noodles.
What?
Halfway through the sushi burrito, I took a bite, and suddenly these noodles started coming out. And suddenly my hands were covered in this... sushi burrito sauce?
What?
That wasn't there before? And
I really like the idea of you taking a bite and kind of looking at the lady, and there's the chef of the burrito is actually next to your table, like crouched down every time, just like putting more stuff in the back of the burrito. It's like, yeah, it's good. It's like, good. Now he'll get to the old tire. Every bite you take, he just keeps shoving more random stuff in there, seeing how far you'll go.
Yeah, and sushi itself, you know, I was coming around on it because it's pretty good,
it's
right?
Great.
But when it's all like in bite-sized pieces, popping in your mouth, delicious.
Great.
But when you're pulling out different chunks of the sushi in huge size chunks, it starts getting real gross.
Yeah. Okay. You've turned the tide for me. Originally, I was like, yeah, you just get some rice and some fish and a couple of vegetables. You wrap it up in a tortilla. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Like, when you order a chicken burrito
at
Chipotle, let's say, they don't just throw a chicken breast and wrap it in some rice and beans and tortilla
and put a carrot in it.
Put a head of lettuce on there.
Yeah. they definitely put a little more preparation into the individual parts.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
So there you go.
You've done a good job unselling the sushi burrito.
My work here is done.
Finally.
And I don't know how she was doing this, but as I was making a complete mess on my plate, I looked over at the table, and I don't know if she was just taking dainty bites or what have you, but she was handling the sushi burrito like a pro. Like, there was no mess in front of her at all. And then you look at me, and it looks like I haven't seen food before.
You're like a Neanderthal that's been like given food for the like prepared food the first time, just ravaging your food.
Much like how does food work again?
Or perhaps you were trying to send her a message sexually about how you will ravage her.
That's right. I'm a Neanderthal in the sack, baby.
Allow me to hit you in the head with this club.
And that concludes Sexy Time.
Sexy Time with Wes. Sorry, that was 70s show music time.
But Steve, let's get to some emails. The top five from how many
two months ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't that long, people. I'm sorry. There was a bit of a hiatus, and we are sorry.
We are so...
But we are back for your holiday time coming up. We got Thanksgiving, Christmas. Got some real good kind of themed ones coming up for you. We're real excited about.
Oh, so yeah. Super excited about.
We are here to get you through the brutally painful holidays. Mm-hmm. Good friend Stephen West.
That's right. That's right. With a family that you choose.
Yeah. Aww.
But we got some top fives written in from that top five that we did. It was our top five experiences while watching, while consuming entertainment.
AKA what I call the old chicken McNugget hand job.
You know what? We'll get to that again.
Oh, good.
But first of all, we got an email. Excuse me. Got an email from our good friend Brian.
Brian.
He's because we had a dishonorable mention. Every email written in had a dishonorable mention.
Nice.
So he said, Friday the 13th remake. My parents were out of town. I had the whole house to me myself. I thought, why not watch a scary movie and freak myself out for fun? I went to the store and rented the last horror movie. Then I went all out. I bought candy. I popped popcorn. I waited until it was dark. Turned off all the lights and closed all the windows. I was so excited. It was Jason's Return, starring one of the actors from my newest favorite show at the time, Jared Padalecki from Supernatural. And I was so disappointed. I was not scared once. And that's called a... But his real top five is number five is Marathoning the Saboteur. Are you familiar with this PS3 game?
Vaguely.
So basically, he was out of the video game scene for a while. He didn't even get a PS3 until a year after it came out.
Oh, my.
I know. But after he did, his love resurfaced. But he tried a little indie game about an Irish mechanic fighting Nazis called The Saboteur. And this was his first time marathoning a video game ever. He played it for about 4 hours.
Oh, that's a marathon?
That's Steve.
Oh.
Steve, what's a marathon for you? Just out of curiosity.
A marathon for me is like, wife is out of town, schedule is cleared.
It's about 26 hours.
Honestly, a marathon to me is probably spending like 9 hours playing a game.
See, a marathon to me would be about 4 hours, because I can only spend about an hour or two playing a game before I have to get up and do something else.
Nah, I can get lost in a game about like 2 p.m., and then realize, I'm like, oh, God, it's 11 o'clock at night. I haven't eaten. Oh, I'm hungry. Now that I think about it, I'm real hungry.
And I really gotta pee.
But you know what? I'm just gonna keep playing anyway.
His number four is watching The Shining. His mom went out of town, and his dad plopped him down to show him one of his favorite scary movies growing up.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Do you see this? Do you see how this is on his list of favorite memories? I'm talking to you, my wife. I will not talk to you about this in person. I will talk to you about this via the podcast. Do you see? This is why I want to show our son, our daughter, Braveheart when he or she is 8. I want to show him Aliens when they're 6.
He says he was about Danny's age when he saw it. I assume that was the kid.
Yeah. So do you see? If you handle it right, this is a way to form your child, to mold your child.
I mean, Brian is also a crazy serial killer.
I mean, but it's on his list.
Yes.
That's not the point, Wes.
Just kidding, Brian. But his number three is viewing and discussing District 9. Basically, he viewed this sci-fi film, this classic sci-fi
film. I love District 9.
Oh, yeah. With his best friend, and then they went next door for pizza, ended up spending like an hour eating and discussing it.
You know what? I feel like that's one thing I do kind of miss about...
having friends?
Having people in my life. I feel like I watch a decent amount of stuff, and I go to the internet to feel like to get other people's opinions on it. I want to have that, man. I want to have that. Let's have a pizza and discuss for an hour the things that this movie is talking about. The point. I love that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. His number two is Discovering Firefly. Oh, excuse me. We all pandered to Wes. Yeah. We all know how great the show is. I was late to the train. A few years after it aired, I was hearing all great things. Then I found the show somewhere on discount. Then months later, I finally decided to give it a try. I was with my mom. We watched the first episode, and immediately, we were hooked. We marathoned all 13 episodes in 1 week. We even rewatched it a month later. This time is a great memory for me. I discovered the awesomeness of Firefly and the greatness of marathoning a TV show with his own mother, I presume.
Yeah, I hope that he watched the whole thing with his mom. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Because my mom doesn't get those shows.
Well,
she likes stuff like
Match Game.
She likes stuff like Glee. And I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, wait a minute. I am my mother's son.
His number one is an Avengers Cabin in the Woods double features.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. When these
or what I call the Chris Hemsworth double penetration.
When these movies came out, I was working in the theater, which means free movies. The theater was a cool theater, but it did just have one screen. One day, on my day off, they were premiering both films. I decided to go see the two new Joss Whedon-related films for the first time. Good choice. I had a blast. I loved both films for different things. Both had a great full house crowd to watch it with.
Nice.
Not only was this the only theater double feature I've done, but these two films are the only films I've ever seen at the theater more than once.
Nice.
Usually, I have the patience to wait, but not for these two. I had to watch these again ASAP and tell all my friends about it. That's how good these films were.
Cool, man. You know, one quick little thing. At a local theater here, a smaller theater, kind of like what you're talking about here, the week of Halloween, they did a different classic Halloween movie every night for free. So they did Halloween, Friday the 13th. They did Saw, which some would say not classic, but whatever.
Yeah.
The night before Halloween, Holly and I went, and with a couple of friends, we went to go watch Nightmare on Elm Street on the big screen. I had actually never seen Nightmare on Elm Street before.
Really?
And talking about a lively audience to watch the movie with,
mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal, man. Just some of the cheesy lines, people start laughing, you know, seeing random people jump at different parts because they've never seen the movie either, and it was a... You know, for a movie that's been out, God, for now 30 years, makes me feel so old.
Let's not talk about it.
Oh, God. But to have that as my first experience of this really classic movie, as opposed to watching it by myself on Netflix at my house, it was a really, really cool experience. So, really nice Halloween moment going on there. It was really cool. So I can kind of understand where he's coming from with the cool audience to watch a movie with and... It's rare, I feel like, especially with new movies that come out, like Avengers, because so many kids are going to come see it and, you know, whatever. Like, but when you have that group atmosphere watching a movie, it's a really cool thing. So,
totally understand
why that makes this number one.
All right, guys, because of the basic conceit of this top five being you tell five quick little stories, we only have time to do two emails this week, but thank you everybody for writing in. But the second email comes from Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines?
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. And before we get to his top five, he says, after hearing Steve talk about how much he hates hand jobs, I felt you guys would get a kick out of this fake horror movie trailer called Hand Job Cabin.
No! What a horror!
We have to take a TV timeout so Steve can watch this. There you go, Steve.
Yes. Yeah. So what would you look up? You'd look up College Humor.
Handjob Cabin.
Handjob Cabin.
It's a fake horror movie trailer. It's hilarious.
Great.
It's basically what all we were talking about last
Absolutely. week. Absolutely. Although I like my metaphor of the 20-piece chicken McNugget.
I mean, that is going to go into my daily lexicon, Steve.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Parker Newton Gaines. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. People write this shit in that we've never heard of before.
I love it.
We love it. He writes in a dishonorable mention. He says, I met a lovely Korean girl at a LAN party where I encouraged her to brutally maim and humiliate her opponents in StarCraft. Long story short, she came back to my room that night to fool around and gave me the worst handy J of my life.
No!
It took over an hour and she didn't aim it properly, so it ended up in my own eye.
Oh, no!
I do not recommend getting that in your eye ever. Shit burns like you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
Duncan Parker Newton Gates.
Wow.
That
dude, I'll
horrifying.
Tell you what. I mean, that's obviously a dishonorable mention for you. That may be my new number one. That's hilarious. Oh, dude, I was like, well, we met at a LAN party. I showed her a few things in StarCraft. Then I shot my own jizz in my eye. Excuse me?
After That's... an hour.
Oh, God. Hand jobs are the... Oh, they're the worst. God, they're the worst.
But his number five. Let's get to his real list. His number five. Playing through Undertale without killing any monsters. Have you heard this game, Undertale?
No.
It
no.
is a great-looking new PC game, but that I really would like to play. Basically, it's a turn-based RPG where you can where you can play through the entire game without killing a single creature. The game is brilliantly written and really messes with you as a player, but it's a short and beautiful story, about 6 hours. Try it sometime. Any PC these days can run it, since it uses an 8-bit retro style.
Well, sounds to me kind of like Metal Gear, where you could go through and not kill anybody, but instead, I kill everybody.
And I know that's how you do. As number four is my mother and I being the only one laughing about the Sweeney Todd jokes in Jersey Girl at the theater opening weekend. I love getting a joke when no one else in the theater does.
Nice.
Yeah. His number three is taking a 3-hour road trip with a good friend to see The Dark Knight in IMAX.
Oh, nice.
Totally worth it, he says.
Nice. So we share a Dark Knight as one of our experiences. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. His number two is watching the series finale of Star Trek, The Next Generation, with my father. I was in second grade when this aired for the first time, but watching Star Trek with my father is one of my best memories with him. And All Good Things is possibly my favorite finale of anything ever.
Wow. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a real good one. I like that.
But his number one is beating...
Getting a hand job and shooting in my own eye!
His number one is beating Earthbound. Earthbound was a...
Super Nintendo game.
Yes. Earthbound was a huge deal for me as a kid, and I still consider it my favorite game of all time. When you finally face the final boss, I won't say much more, since I really recommend everyone who hasn't played it check it out. The final battle is completely different from anything I had ever experienced to that point in my life, and shaped my views on what a satisfying ending for a piece of media could be.
I like that. Piece of media.
Yeah.
That is good. That's
good
a good way to put
media
that.
Media piece.
Do you see her, dude? She's a total piece of media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good list, man. That's
yeah.
Probably better than both of our lists.
Put together.
That's a damn good list.
And one more. Sorry. Kind of coming down for something. Coming down. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. You got a little jizz in your eye?
Got a little jizz in my eye. Keith writes in, it's real quick, it's a funny little email. I just wanted to let you know that your podcast may be predicting the future.
What?
The day after you guys discussed fantasy creature fights, my coworker bro asked me what kind of fantasy creature I would want to be. I said, giant eagle. He then started to make fun of me by saying, why not put a little lion in there and make it a griffin? Then it's two things and better. I said no and used the jet with the back half of a Winnebago analogy. Then I listened to your podcast about the aquatic phone adventure bit. The next day or two, I had lunch with a friend and he told me he dropped his phone in the toilet as well. Spooky.
Whoa.
Lastly, when Create a Wrestler was happening, how did no one make the joke about Wes the Wrestler being a wrestler? We're just not that clever, Keith.
Damn it.
Keep up the good work predicting the future.
Keith, I gotta warn you. I have got to warn you right now, Keith. Hopefully you've not made it this far in the podcast. Because if the predictions keep going this way, you just may get a hand job. And God knows where it will end up.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm just saying, Keith. Tread carefully with any ladies.
That's right.
Or gentlemen you see around you.
That's right.
Just saying.
If you see extra bottles of lotion lying around, get out quick.
My God.
Ooh,
my
man.
God, run. Guys, good lists.
Mm-hmm.
Good lists.
I wish we could read them all, but we've gone through too much already.
Just enough.
Just enough. Almost too much, but we got out just in
time. You know, it's time to get to another list. It's this week's top five, Wes.
And what is this week's top five? What are we calling it?
We're calling it our top five Viva Las Vegas.
I think I know this song.
Viva Las Vegas.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Viva.
It's right there.
Viva.
On the tip my brain.
Las Vegas.
That nailed it for me.
No, that was the Russell Crowe version right there.
Oh, good. Where he went falsetto?
Russell Crowe was trying to hit the top, the high note there.
Good, good.
So we're doing, in honor of your most recent Vegas trip,
mm-hmm.
we are going to do our top five Vegas-inspired top five. So it is not necessarily taking place in Las Vegas, but it could be a casino. It could deal with gambling. It could mm-hmm. deal with perhaps exotic dancing. Whatever it is.
Sure.
The oeuvre of Las Vegas. Like that? You like that?
I like oeuvre.
Oeuvre.
Can you spell it?
Oo. It starts with oo.
And then ra.
There. Obviously, a duh. So, you know, it doesn't have to, like I said, it could take place in maybe Atlantic City or mm-hmm. something, but it makes you feel Vegas-y.
That's right, that's right. And, of course, this is like movies, TV episodes, or complete shows.
Perhaps. Video games.
Video game levels.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Indeed. So, allow me, sir.
To what?
Allow me to start our top five.
Allow me to give you a hand job.
Allow me, sir, to bring out this lotion.
No!
It's one of those lotions with, like, the thing that, like, works on your skin. It's got the little beads,
oh,
the microbeads.
God, what's that called?
Exfoliators way.
Euphemizing?
Euphemizers. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, did we mention we haven't done this in 2 weeks? I forgot how to talk.
So, my number five.
Yes.
Okay, so many people will probably put this higher on the list, or many people will probably take it off the list. Oh, I'm stealing it already. I'm taking The Hangover.
That's my number one!
No way!
Yes!
Really?
Yes! I love that movie!
I mean, it's good. Okay.
I have not seen the sequels, so
neither
the first one to me is just like a great comedy, one of my favorite comedies, and it happens to be based in Vegas.
Yeah.
So
you know what? I want you to field this first, and then I will bring up a different part.
I think I just pretty much said it all. It's one.
No, you didn't say it.
Yes,
you said
I
a
did.
Jesus, it's your number one. You gotta have more than a sentence.
Well, it's one of my favorite comedies in the world. It always makes me laugh every time I've seen it. I've probably seen it between 5 and 10 times, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you know how often I watch movies, that's a fucking lot. So I've seen it multiple times. I laugh every single time, and I catch jokes every single time that I didn't catch before. And this is before Zach Galifianakis' character apparently takes over the Hangover films. He's just in there, like we said before, just enough. Not too much, just enough. And the jokes come fast and furious. Bradley Cooper's never been funnier. Ed Helms has never been funnier. That one guy nobody knows, he's in there too. And Ken Jeong.
I hate Ken Jeong.
I hate him.
I hate him.
But he's in there too much. He's in there too much. But, so.
There you go.
And it's basically a mystery wrapped in a comedy.
Yeah.
It's a great mystery.
It's a clue. Good movie.
The clues are all there and they gotta figure them out. So they're like Sherlock Holmes and Watson. And then like his other two people.
I don't think there's other people. I think it's
Sherlock Holmes, Watson, and then their landlady.
Actually, in Sherlock, there is other, the landlord lady. I forget her name.
Or the police captain.
So the part of the reason I put The Hangover here, it's a really funny movie, but I almost want to make a stand right now for really great comedies that actually kind of get kind of poo-pooed, if you will, pushed off to the side because they get so popular and it's everyone quotes them and that sort of thing, where The Hangover, I feel, falls into that list. Like, Old School falls into that category. Anchorman. All these movies, it's like, at least in my world, have kind of become passe in a way where, like, oh, yeah, everyone's seen him. Oh, yeah, fine. Oh, that escalated quickly. Yeah, we get an Anchorman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where'd you get a trident? You know, these quotes. But I try to go back to the first time I watched those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all original movies that are, I mean, of course, there's influence from other things. Old School, obviously, influenced by Animal House and The Hangover. It's got influences in other stuff. But, like, they're number one in the list of those movies. You know, they're the original ones. And they're really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great. And, I mean, ideally, I mean, that's what I would love to make at some point in my life, is just a movie that people really genuinely think is really funny.
Yeah.
And to the point that so many people think it's funny, that because so many people think it's funny, it then becomes passé because too many people think it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things that's going to go down. It's going to go down as a classic film mm-hmm. of this time, of the 2000s. You know, when I'm showing my future kids, you know, the comedies of my time, I'll have the movies from the 90s, my Dumb and Dumber, my Ace Ventura, my whatever, the 2000s. And then I'm gonna have The Hangover as one of these movies. It's a great comedy movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, the reason I put it down here is I wanted to do a couple more off the radar kind of Vegas-y things.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to say, you know what? Just because a movie is super popular does not mean that it does not warrant the credit it has.
Sure.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So I'm making a little stand for the. I'm making a stand for The Hangover.
All right. Well, that was my number goddamn one.
Right. So enjoy the rest of your list.
Great. So I'm going to move everything up.
The old shifteroo.
The old shifteroonie. And I am going to throw in an honorable mention. And I only have a couple. So if you take any more of my list, I might have to punch you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. I'm going to throw in the only James Bond movie set in Vegas. Diamonds Are Forever. Certainly not one of the classic James Bond movies. That's why it didn't make my list. But it does have some classic James Bond stuff in there. One of the Bond ladies in there is called Plenty O'Toole. Blofeld. It's all about Blofeld and like Blofeld's clones and like trying to capture Blofeld.
Love is that you went with this obscure James Bond movie instead of just going with potentially the best James Bond movie, period, Casino Royale.
But that didn't take place in Vegas. It just took place in a casino, I know we could have done it that way. But I wanted to go something obscure that I knew wouldn't be on your list. And it also has it's remarkable to me. Their names are, I think it's Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd. They're two assassins. Presumably hired by Blofeld. I don't think it's ever really said, but they're two assassins that are really good at their job, and I think they might be one of the first gay couples in movies that are treated not for comedy.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's never explicitly stated that they're gay, but they're seen holding hands. One of them, like, I know this isn't like a gay man thing to do, but one of them wears perfume a couple times. And one of them, like, notices a girl, and I think he says, she's beautiful for a girl. So some hints in there. And
oh, James Bond, didn't realize you were so progressive.
So progressive.
Why don't you have another martini and have sex with a random woman, James? And then kill some people, you progressive son of a bitch.
It's not one of the best. It's not one of the worst. It's a good little James Bond.
Give me your top three Bond movies.
GoldenEye.
Okay.
Goldfinger. And then probably Casino Royale. Maybe Skyfall. Skyfall.
I would go probably Skyfall. No, sorry. Casino Royale number one for me, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Casino Royale, I'll go Skyfall 2, and then I will probably go GoldenEye 3, really mostly based on the video game.
Sure. GoldenEye really revitalized the franchise, and then they ruined it, but Tomorrow Never Dies.
So, moving on to my number 4.
Yes.
Here's a complete random one.
Love it.
PlayStation Plus video game.
Oh!
Do you know what this is?
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's that poker Borderlands game or
yes.
something like that.
Yes, this is from Telltale Games. It's called Poker Night.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a free PlayStation Plus game like a year ago.
Yeah.
For PS Plus, obviously. And it's a couple of their famous characters or whatever. And some of them aren't even their characters. It was – so you're – it's just a poke – it's a
– Wasn't Brock Samson in there?
Yeah, Brock Samson from the Venture Brothers, Ash from The Walking – or not The Walking Dead, excuse me.
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. And then what's the two dog kind of like the detective dogs? You bought the game.
Yeah, Sam and Max.
Sam and Max are, or Max, I guess, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And then GLaDOS from Portal is like the dealer mm-hmm. or something. And it's just a poker video game. That's all it is. I don't even really like poker. Mm-hmm. I just downloaded it because it was free. And for some reason, I really dug the game.
Yeah?
I really dug it. There was, because most poker games or card games, whatever, that not that I've played a ton, but it is the game of cards. That's what it is. You know, you're calculating your odds to win and blah, 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 whatever. This game actually had kind of like this kind of poker banter between the characters at the table. So your view, instead of just looking straight down at a table at cards, is a kind of a third-person view almost, mm-hmm. where you get to see everybody at the table, and they, when someone starts like hitting, you know, to get cards, like, oh boy, what does he have? And or there's like they start threatening to punch one another or whatever. There's just this really cool kind of like banter, and it kind of, I used it almost as kind of like my wind down thing before I went to bed, where I was
sure.
like, cool, I'm just gonna hang out with these couple of dudes real quick, play a couple hands of poker, and see what I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it was just one of the most like chill video game experiences that I've ever had, and it was like I would never ever buy this game. I would going out of my way to purchase this game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was this really cool experience that I guess PlayStation Plus afforded me to take, and it was just cool. I really liked it a lot. The game was kind of glitchy, and I didn't do very well.
I lost real money.
I kept just putting my credit card into my controller. I don't know. But it was cool, and I liked it, and it brought a couple of different things that I liked already into a game that I was like, I love GLaDOS. I like the Venture Brothers. I was like, cool, yeah. It was just fun, man.
There's something oddly zen about games like that, because I remember I used to do the same thing with Red Dead Redemption. I used to just log in, walk around with John Marston.
Yeah.
And I would just walk up to a table, start playing poker for like an hour just to waste time.
Yeah.
Or like Liar's Dice. I used to love playing Liar's Dice in Red Dead Redemption.
And it's kind of nice, obviously, coming from your Vegas thing where There's a cool thing that happens in Vegas when you get on a table or any casino, whatever, any gambling kind of thing, that you get on a table of whatever it is, craps, roulette, blackjack, and the same people are there for a little while, and you kind of start exchanging a little bit of stories, and you kind of pick mm-hmm. up the personalities of some people. And I mean, that's one of the really cool things that happens
mm-hmm.
if, especially, obviously, if people are winning money, of course, it makes it a lot better. But it was just some sort of kind of, like, simulated version of that in the way. And it was so low stakes because, obviously, there's no real money.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I don't know, it was just a, and I had just come from Vegas for my wedding. So I was, like, I was still kind of in my gambling mode. It was just a fun thing. It was cool. And it just kind of hit me. And it's not a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cool thing that hit me at the right time. And I really dug it. So that's why it's number four on my list.
Well, my number four is now a little movie that we've talked about very recently. It's Mars Attacks.
Yes!
Yes!
Yes, I totally forgot about this.
Yes, Mars Attacks takes place in Vegas.
It does.
And it's we've talked about it before. I'm not going to go into it, but it's this underrated sci-fi. I will call it a gem. It's very tongue-in-cheek. It makes one of those B-movies. Kills Jack Nicholson twice.
Yes.
You know, it's a little spoiler, I guess. But it's just so funny to me. We talked about some of the jokes before. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. Like, it's a star-studded cast.
The cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Is it what Jack Nicholson, Glenn Close,
Sarah Jessica Parker,
Martin Short, Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
It's not Ving Rhames, but it's
It's Michael Clark. No.
Nope, not him either.
Not him.
It's one of those. And it's full of that guys as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Several that guys in that movie as well.
So yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because we just talked about it in one of the previous podcasts. But there you go. My number four right now, slipping in with Mars Attacks.
You know what? I really want to go home and watch Mars Attacks right now.
Because Is it on Netflix?
I don't think so. I don't think it ever has been, actually.
Do you think Netflix knows about it?
Excuse me, Netflix. I've got a little bit of a what we would call a gem. Get out of here. Now, hold on.
Hold on now.
If you just opened up the gate out here, I wouldn't have to yell so much, and we could talk about this gem. Look, dude, we don't care about your gems. Netflix has been unresponsive to our push to have Mars Attacks on Netflix. I don't understand.
And I don't know why they Netflix headquarters is in a gated mansion.
I don't understand either. Yeah. And I do appreciate, though, their accessibility to yell at one another.
Yeah, that wasn't an intercom. That was just the guy on the other side of the gate.
Yeah, just yelling. I saw Mars Attacks in the theater when I was too young to watch it. And this is one of those things where I saw it with a couple of friends and not, like, older guidance, I suppose, that someone led me to this movie. I was maybe, I don't know, 10 or something. I was like, yeah, Mars Attacks, this is going to be great. And I watched it, and it wasn't great to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great, because it's great to me now. It wasn't great then.
Yeah.
So I watched it like, ah, damn it. Why did this movie? And it sucked. And then I watched it again, like, 6 years later. I was like, oh, my God, young Steve, you are an idiot. This movie is hilarious.
Yeah.
Man, but see, that's why you got to have those moments when dad, mom, whoever grabs you and is like, look, son, I know you are far too young for this, but I know you enough to know that you are going to think this fucking rules. So here we go. Man. So anyway, Mars Attacks, awesome pick. Awesome pick.
Good, good, good.
And Netflix, get your shit together.
And let us in.
Just one time. We only were naked in the pool once.
That's right.
All right.
And we apologized.
This is going to come under some heavy scrutiny, but I don't care.
Wow.
I've mentioned it before. I will mention it in the future. And I will mention it now. My number three, taking place in Viva Las Vegas, is Showgirls. The movie itself, horrible. Just horrible. However, I will not let this go. And I don't care what kind of face or half laughs you give me. I don't care. Very, very, very few times in our life are we going to be gifted with the opportunity to see a glorious, glorious young woman that we've grown up with through our adolescent period all of a sudden flip it into slut mode. And flip it into slut mode in the most besides doing hardcore pornography, the most extreme way one can do.
Yeah.
So I don't care what anybody says. 16-year-old, 15-year-old young Steve watching Jesse Spano become a stripper was phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Her, for those who are not familiar with the movie Showgirls, don't worry. I haven't seen the whole thing either. Because that's not what's important right now. What's important is the highlights, baby. The highlights. And that includes the ridiculous pool sex scene. And the best part is her, quote-unquote, audition for basically, the guy that runs this strip club. And he, her striptease is so erotic that it makes him come in his pants. This is a dude that runs a strip club. He's like, oh, this girl. Oh! That is ridiculous. But Jesse Spano has the power. And I don't care what anybody says. That shit's awesome. That is awesome. And you're giving me the face of total disgust.
So my number three.
Hey, don't you dare. Don't you dare look over this. We are the age where we are the only possible people where this movie could work on the smallest level. The only people, man. They made this movie being like, hey, you know those adolescent boys that kind of thought Jesse was hot, obviously. Jesse, not Jesse Spano, what's the other? Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's way hotter.
Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly Kapowski. Obviously, Kelly Kapowski is hotter. Many people think Lisa Turtle is also hotter, but we can't get them because their standards are too high. Hear me out. We can get Jesse Spano. We can get her. And she can be a stripper.
It's like, is Topanga from Boy Meets World available?
No!
Oh,
she's
boy.
Got her eyes on the prize for Girl Meets World down the road. Can't be muddying the waters with showgirls.
What about Jodie Sweetin from Full House?
Nope. Can't do it. The Olsen twins? Now that's a possibility.
Although they're technically too young still.
But Spano is available now. Available now. That's what I'm saying. So we were in that briefest of windows. This is the only time in our life, Wes, that we get to be the 1%. We are 99% of people, rightfully so, hate this movie. We are the only people, Wes, and the few gentlemen out there that you know who I'm talking to. You know if I'm talking to you. We are the 1%. We can like this film and not feel bad about it. We can do it, Wes.
But Steve, you haven't even seen this film.
Because you don't have to. You don't have to, Wes. You don't need to.
Okay.
There it is. That's why, God, I wish it's now my number one with that sales pitch. It's my number three, baby. Jesse Spano doing it just for you and me, Wes. Just for you and me.
So my number three is a level from a classic video game.
Don't you dare.
Sonic okay. the Hedgehog 2.
Okay.
Casino fine. Night Zone.
Casino Night Zone is a good level.
It is, because I've never been a huge fan of Sonic. This was my only reason to play that game.
I agree 100%.
Over and over again, I would put on this game, I'd go through Emerald Hill Zone, the Windy City Zone, whatever the hell, the Apple Dumpling Zone, just to get to the Casino Night Zone. Because that zone was a fucking blast.
Yeah, it's good.
Just because you can run, you can do Sonic's spin move, jump off a cliff, and then watch him bing, bang, zip, zap around for the next 5 minutes or so. Maybe you'll land in those bars and like the slots will go, and then you'll get like the 3 sevens. It'll get like hundreds of rings. So many lives. Maybe you'll go into the pinball and you can again hit the A button and send him flying upwards and he'll zip, zap around again.
Yeah,
you don't know. Steve, shut up. I have never been good at Foley. You know this. This was so much fun to do, and it was such a departure from everything else where you just like, well, you start in the left and you go to the right and you bounce on things and blah, blah, blah. This is you start on the left and then you jump off the cliff, you bang, bang, zap around, and suddenly you're at the end. You have no idea how you got there, but you had a blast doing it.
And I have a billion rings.
That's right. And God damn it made me want to go to Vegas, and I didn't understand what Vegas was.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know my second favorite Sonic game? Actually, by my okay, favorite Sonic game is what the game, it's Sonic 1, right, that has this level?
Sonic 2.
Sonic 2, excuse me. Sonic 2 is my favorite Sonic game. Second favorite Sonic game, Sonic Spinball.
That was a blast.
I liked me some Sonic Spinball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Overall, Sonic sucks.
Sorry to all your diehard Sonic fans.
You know what? I don't think they're out there. I don't think they're out there.
Oh, man. They're out there.
You know,
hopefully they're not listening to this.
Then they get to be the 1% on that. Because only 1% of video game players really dig Sonic.
There it is.
Probably the weakest of the mascot players, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently one of the classics. And apparently the later 3D games just suck.
Okay. I mean, I feel like Sonic was only good because Sega was like, well, we're going to put all our money behind this little blue hedgehog, aren't we? All right, here we go.
Let's do it. Let's shove it down their throats, people.
There we go. I kind of feel like that's how it went. But a game that was not shoved down people's throats that they... I'll stop right there. My number two is from one of my probably top three games of all time, and it is going to be the casino in Final Fantasy VII.
Steve, you know I haven't played that game.
I know you haven't played. That's why when I thought you were going to put that in there, I was like, you son of a bitch, you have no right! No right! So, Final Fantasy VII, as obviously has been talked about ad nauseum, how brilliant a game it is. But this is a specific moment. You're on this incredibly long quest where you're picking up different characters, and the stakes couldn't be bigger. The entire planet is going to be destroyed. It's it's machine versus nature. It's all of these things, and you've been wandering through the desert for a while, fighting some pretty tough battles. And then you kind of come across this really poor mining town, but then you get on this trolley thing, and you go from this barren kind of wasteland up this trolley into this unbelievable neon castle that is essentially the Las Vegas of this entire planet.
Okay.
And you go into this casino / game world, and this is where there's this thing that you've been working on for a while in the game. You finally get to race chocobos, or chokechobos, however people say it. And so there is, it's all of these small mini games. And one of them was a snowboard mini game inside the casino. So basically there's an arcade inside the casino. There's essentially what would be called like horse racing inside the casino. There's other ways to gamble inside this casino in Final Fantasy VII. So racing the chocobos was awesome. So fun. You could put money on ones and you just see what happens at the end of the race. You could also race your own in there and get awesome power-ups. But inside the arcade, there were other mini-games. And at this point, we're talking PlayStation 1 mm-hmm. at this point. So the computing power is not, enormous. Mm-hmm. So this is when, like 1080 snowboarding was out for Nintendo 64. And I don't even think we've gotten an SSX game yet.
Okay.
I don't think. So there's like Cool Borders might have been out at that point. But inside this amazingly huge 3-disc RPG game, there's a mini game that's a snowboarding game that's super fun.
Really?
So you could go out and buy Cool Borders for $50, or you could buy Final Fantasy VII, have one of the greatest games of all time, and there's a really good snowboarding game inside of it.
Yeah.
On top of this horse racing kind of game. And like it was this moment that, like, every part of the game, you always felt like there's some sort of danger or, God knows what could happen in this next cutscene that's going to come up. When there was this moment in the casino where you really truly had this moment of like, I'm really here to just cut loose and have fun and spend some of this money that I've earned by destroying these monsters and whatever. So it's a very cool design moment within a game, and it's also this really cool games inside of a game. So that's why it's my number two, is the casino area of... And there's also some big story moments that happen there as well. You also pick up another character. It's a performer from the casino, too. So that's why it's my number two. Really great use of a casino and gambling and fun and games inside of a game. So okay. There it is.
All right. There we go. Well, really well explained.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
Now, let's talk more about Jesse Spanner.
Oh, God. All right. Well, my number two, it's a movie that I hadn't even heard of. But until the weeks leading up to Vegas, the people who I went with wanted to watch Vegas movies.
Sure.
So we watched, and I doubt these will be on your list, we watched The Cooler. With William H. Macy and okay. Maria Bello. We watched Vegas Vacation.
Okay.
The classic.
Right.
And then we watched this movie, which was surprisingly good. It's called Honeymoon in Vegas. And it stars Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Have you heard of this?
And Elizabeth Shue?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah. This is back in the 80s, maybe the 70s. James Caan was in it.
James Caan.
And basically the story is Nicolas Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker are dating. He never wants to get married. She does. But he doesn't, so she breaks it off with him. He's like, no, baby, no. Let's go to Vegas. Let's do it. Let's get married. So they go to Vegas, And apparently Sarah Jessica Parker looks like James Caan's dead ex-wife. So he hatches this elaborate plan to invite Nicolas Cage to this totally for reals, dude, gambling tournament where he fixes it. So Nicolas Cage is like $60,000 in debt to him. Like, he lets him borrow like $60,000 of his money. And then, of course, Nick Cage loses it. So James Caan, because he's such a great guy in the movie, he's like, no, don't worry, dude. You don't need to pay me back. Just give me a weekend with your fiance.
Yeah, because nothing bad could happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. So it's this... So Nick Cage talks over it with SJP, and she reluctantly goes along with it. And then it's just a bunch of hijinks as James Caan, like, spirits her away to Hawaii. I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah.
Hawaii! To Hawaii. And it's just James Caan's henchmen keeping Nick Cage away, as he's always just a step behind James Caan. There's a bunch of great set pieces in there, like with a bunch of flying Elvises. For
nice.
One of them, but it's surprisingly funny, surprisingly well acted, because Nick Cage nowadays is viewed as a joke, and Sarah Jessica Parker is kind of viewed as a joke as well.
Right.
And I haven't seen really James Caan act in a movie before, and he was freaking great and hilarious, and dude, it was just a complete surprise to me. It blindsided me with greatness.
Nice.
So I really enjoyed it. That's why I made really my number three, but right now it's my number two.
Nice.
So there you go. You son of a bitch.
Well, talking about watching Vegas/casino inspired movies, it's almost too easy for my number one. But I don't know if this was on your list of movies you watched before you went to Vegas, but did you happen to watch Casino?
Nope.
Wes, why am I not surprised? There's a lot of... Actually, you listed off some pretty good movies there that you watched. But this movie, I feel like, kind of gets overlooked a little bit.
Correction. These movies weren't good. They just took place in Vegas. The cooler's fine, but Vegas Vacation? Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. But,
yeah.
But Casino.
Casino is, I feel like it kind of gets looked over because I love a good crime, organized crime movie. Give me a Godfather. Give me a Goodfellas. And I know a lot of people will say Casino's kind of a... just a bastardized version of Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care, dude. Goodfellas is one of the best movies ever. I'll take a decently done bastardized version of that for sure. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Sharon Stone. Yeah.
Isn't Joe Pesci also in Goodfellas?
Yeah. So is Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is it so bastardized? Is it just, like, duplicated?
There's some people that say the way that the film is shot.
Aren't they both Martin Scorsese?
Yes.
So it's basically a remake.
Not quite a remake, but there are a lot of similar themes. The organized crime, like I said, the way that it is shot. But that's not the important part. It is definitely obviously a different film, and it was one of the first kind of organized crime movies that I watched that was current when I was watching it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I had seen The Godfather, but Godfather's been out since, what, the 70s? So it felt like I was watching a movie that's supposed to be a classic. You know, Goodfellas had been out for many, many years, and same kind of thing. Casino was still newish when I saw it. And I was like, oh, cool, it's contemporary, despite the fact it takes place in the 70s. But it felt like I was a part of it, in a way, like when it first came out. excuse me. And there's just... it's got all of the things that you like from an organized, you know, mob kind of movie. It's got the likable but still hateful characters. It's got the, you know, the crazy romance. The guy's like, I love you so much. I love you so much. Slap, slap, slap. I love you so much. And the woman's like, oh, baby, you're the best I've ever had. And then she goes and sleeps with another man. But, baby, I loved you the whole time. And if you didn't make me slap, slap, slap. You
know? Yeah. Like,
it's just this ridiculous... abusive relationship between everybody under this veil of love for one another, but there isn't, and it's all about money and power and sex and drugs and the idea of this is not current Las Vegas, where you said it's like Disney World for, you know, adults / the kids. This was in the 70s when this was just adults and like cocaine, and you know, it's that kind of era of Las Vegas. And it's just, it's a well acted by everybody. Sharon Stone is fantastic in the movie. I believe she was nominated for an Oscar, I think, for the role. There's some pretty graphic violence, as you do want to have in your mob movies, because you always have that guys with the gentleman in the movie of, it's like, hey, if you get out of line, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get it. Don't make me do it. And then you see a guy actually get it, like get stabbed through the neck with an ice pick or something.
Boy.
Like, oh, this is what they were talking about. This is why you don't mouth off to that guy. Otherwise, your car blows up, you know, or whatever. So it's also in the, it's a VHS, dual VHS cassette, I believe, back in the day when you saw it in someone's entertainment center.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dual cassette.
Ooh, they were rocking it.
They were rocking. So it's a really, really good movie that's got all of the Scorsese crime, you know, like just, it's a great mob movie that takes place in Las Vegas, and I think it's a little bit underrated. I think it's a great movie.
Cool. I can neither confirm nor deny if you are correct.
Confirmed!
All right. But my number one, it is really my number two, but my number one is an episode of Modern Family. It's simply titled Las Vegas. And this may be my favorite episode of Modern Family ever. It's set up and written in such a way it plays out like a 22-minute farce. And a brilliantly written farce. It sets up three or four different storylines. It's all set in a hotel in Las Vegas. It sets up like three or four different storylines, and like that's the first act. The second act is like the setup of all the misunderstandings and like mistaken identities, and then the third act is like for example, the gay couple Cameron and Mitch meet like Mitch's ex-lover who's in Vegas with his fiance. No, I think he's in Vegas for a bachelor party, and then through a weird misunderstanding, he thinks Mitch is coming on to him, and like Mitch accidentally like leaves his hotel key card at the bar when they were talking, and he's like, oh. And Mitch had drawn a sexy bath for him and Cam, but when like his ex shows up, he thinks the bath is for him, so he's like waiting for Mitch in the bath, but Cam walks in first, and then he was like, well, he said he was planning something. Cam was like, he said he was planning something special. And then the ex is like, oh, thinking like it's going to be a three-way. But so just stuff like that. And then the whole third act, much like a farce, is just a bunch of people running in and out of different rooms. Like all the misunderstandings and mistaken identities like coming to fruition, I guess, coming to the forefront as everyone's running in and out. Doors are slamming. Well, people are running into one weird situation and then like, oh God, and they run right into another. And it's just laugh after laugh after laugh after laugh. And it's so many laughs packed into 22 minutes. And it's just a great, fantastic episode. Great writing, great acting, great direction. Everything about it was on point.
Modern Family is a show that I think is pretty funny, but I've seen a couple episodes, but I'm never inspired enough to be like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to the beginning and watch this show.
Yeah.
To me, it's a show I'm like, if I happen to be flipping through channels, I will stop and I will watch Modern Family.
Sure.
But I'm not gonna go out of my way to get it.
No, and it's just one of those shows, I like it because it's, I like having that show that you can put on in the background, and like every now and then they have a show, like the one that I just described,
right,
that really just makes you like, holy shit,
God,
that
they're
was
good.
Awesome!
Damn, they're good.
And I think I honestly said that, I'm not being sarcastic or exaggerating, I said after that show was done, I turned to my girlfriend at the time, was like, holy shit! That was freaking amazing. And it was. And it is. And it's one of their highest rated episodes to date. The highest reviewed, I should say.
I mean, and what doesn't hurt is having the absolutely gorgeous Sofia Vergara on there at any time.
Oh, she never hurts anything.
God, she is so attractive.
Yes, she is. And
so my number one is Sofia Vergara.
So my top five in review. My top five with the honorable mention of Diamonds Are Forever. My number five was Mars Attacks. My number four was Casino Night Zone in Sonic 2. My number three was Honeymoon in Vegas, starring the effervescent Nick Cage. My number two is the Modern Family episode called Las Vegas. My number one is The Hangover.
Cool. My number five was The Hangover. My number four was the Telltale Games Casino or Poker Night. Number three, Showgirls, Wes. You and me, the 1% for the one time in our life. Number two, Final Fantasy VII. Number one, the movie aptly named Casino. Notice neither of us put on Leaving Las Vegas.
Or Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Or Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Nicolas Cage won an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas.
Did he?
Yeah.
I haven't
with Elizabeth Shue, who I think is super duper hot.
I haven't seen that one, no surprise. But I have actually seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but I was like 12, and I didn't get it.
Did you not have the parental to say, "Come with me. This is you will dig this."
I did not have
See?
The parental.
You need it. You need it.
But guys, those were our top fives, but we want to know what your top fives are. Please let us know what your top five Vegas casino showgirls inspired.
Yo viva Las Vegas.
Inspired scenes, levels, movies, TV episodes, TV shows. Just let us know. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
Facebook and Twitter are right around the corner.
Yeah, we're just rolling that dice.
As soon as we hit another double zero on this roulette table, we'll have enough money to do it.
That's right. But until then, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was five.
And we're out!